I'll start with a few overview comments and then talk on a couple of more specific issues, many of which are common themes that other people have already spoken about. But I believe very strongly that effective fire management is an integral part of sustainable forest management and also competitive and viable forest industries. Forest managers and the forest industry personnel as well have traditionally played very important roles in wildfire suppression and fire management. But in many places, not all, but in many, they're becoming marginalised in fire management. The experience from particularly the last two big fire seasons, in my view, shows that the current strategies are failing and there are very significant consequences for the environment, forest industries and local communities. And I believe that a more active approach to fire management is needed. The impacts are many and varied. I'll try to focus mainly on the ones that affect the forest industries. From personal experience, I know that the 2003 fire in Canberra, one of the customers that I had at that stage, employed 125 people. I supplied him with 85,000 cubic metres of wood a year. His total intake was about 120,000 cubes. After the fire, I was only able to supply him with 10,000 cubic metres. And I was out at the mill the other day and it's virtually about to close. So you can't replace that resource quickly. It just simply can't be done. So whenever there are large fires, there can be significant impacts on our forest industries. I think this threat is not just about native forests or pine plantations, but on that slide there you can see a picture of some second rotation blue gum plantations. Often people will say blue gums aren't really a problem, but this particular site that I visited, I was very concerned about how much fuel was on the ground in second rotation sites and what that might mean if you end up with a 40,000 hectare fire, particularly someone's invested in a downstream processing plant that really cannot use burnt wood. Major impacts on water quality. Again, other people will speak more about that, but we certainly saw that firsthand after the Canberra fires, where virtually all of Canberra's water supply was affected by the fire, and a lot of soil erosion, and also it meant that the main dam supplies had to be shut down for a period of time because of the charcoal in the water. CO2 emissions, obviously climate change is an important issue, and it's pretty well documented that in big fires there are very, very large releases of carbon dioxide. Of course, if we're going to do more prescribed burning, this is a double-edged sword, but it's one that I think that we need to think about what happens in an uncontrolled situation versus a planned and managed situation. I believe that there's also some fairly significant ecological changes. I don't have all the facts and figures, but some of the things I saw last week on the tour with Minister Betts worried me. I saw areas of alpine ash forest. There's a photo there of one of them up the back of Mount Beauty that were burnt in 2003 fire, naturally regenerated, wheat field sort of style regeneration of young alpine ash, natural process, no problem about that. But then when it gets burnt again in a few years' time, destroys all the regeneration, no remaining seed source, and you get major ecological change over thousands of hectares to basically scrub vegetation. So that, I think, is a significant problem, whether it's in state forest or in national park. And then the impact on the livelihoods in the rural communities and also public health. And this is not just related to farmers and so on. Again, on the tour, we heard from people like the wine growers in northeastern Victoria who told us that they've got to put all the current vintage crop on the ground because all the grapes are smoke infected. So you don't always hear those sides of the story. Fire management, we do need an integrated and active management across all forest landscapes because fire doesn't respect the boundaries. It needs to be well planned and thought about and take about account of all the values. We have to recognise that forests are also assets that need to be protected and can't just be lumped in as something that isn't really the same degree of an asset as houses or other things like that. We need to increase resources and particularly the priority for fire management on all forest land and all those organisations involved in that, private sector and public management, and particularly in relation to management of tracks, implementation of burning programs, and the ability, as Rick said, to get out there quickly and suppress the fires. We need to understand the rates of fuel accumulation, and then we need to sort of monitor that in terms of how we're going in terms of fuel treatment. And I know that Jerry Williams has got some things in his paper about that which talk about trying to make sure that the rate of fuel accumulation is not ever increasing above the level of fuel treatment. We do need to, and a number of other speakers have talked about this, but the importance of local knowledge, particularly the skills in managing fire and things like using heavy plant. If there aren't any people around that know how to use bulldozers in fire situations, then when you get big fires, you're in deep trouble. And I think through all of this, there's an ongoing need, and the COAG report talked about this too, for more monitoring, particularly things like fuel accumulation, the effects of fire, the condition, the various stages of the forest ecology, etc. Okay, so just to finish up the last slide, I wanted to just put a different perspective about fire policy because I think it is connected from the global level down through national and state and territory. In my view at the moment, at the national level, it isn't very well established what the national policy is for forest fire management. I think there is some work to do. The COAG inquiry, as many people have pointed out, hasn't really been picked up or isn't owned by anybody, so various bits of it are being followed up, but not all of it. And the way that different states and territories apply their plans and policies vary quite considerably. I think it does need to be informed by science and practical experience. We can't have good fire policy without that. We do need to recognise that some things need to change, and I believe that there is a role to get greater national focus on some of these issues. Thank you.